Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our study in the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by 12th LDS President Spencer W. Kimball. We are continuing in looking at chapter 22, a chapter titled, God Will Forgive. We are looking at page 357, so if you have a book with you, you can turn to that page under the subtitle, Always Better Not to Sin. Now, I don't think there'd be any any argument from us on that one.
Preach
of course,
it, brother.
It's always better not to sin. But he talks about the repetition of sin and how that should not be a part of the believer's life or the Latter-day Saint's life. And I would say, yeah, it shouldn't be a part of the Christian's life. We certainly shouldn't look to repeating sin. But how many people have actually done what Kimball requires in this, or have done what the Book of Mormon actually requires when it comes to that? So he starts off prior to citing the Book of Ether, chapter 2, verse 15 in the Book of Mormon. He says, "The Lord will indeed forgive, but he will not tolerate repetitions of the sin." And then he quotes that passage out of the Book of Mormon. What does that say?
Ether 2:15, "And the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sins, but thou shalt not sin any more, for ye shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if ye will sin until ye are fully ripe, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord."
You can understand why a Latter-day Saint can be terrified at this, because if that is in fact the case, then what is that really implying? It's implying that there better never be a repetition of a past sin. You would think that most Latter-day Saints, if they have been a member for any period of time, have probably gone before the Lord with a number of their shortcomings, sins, transgressions, whatever you want to call it. And don't you think that most people, if they're at least like me, and I think in this area probably Latter-day Saints and myself probably are comparable, I find myself struggling with some things over and over again. But Kimball says I shouldn't be doing that. I need to get over that, and I need to go on. And if the Lord is indeed unhappy with me for that, then do I really have an assurance that I'm forgiven in the first place? Because he says he will not tolerate repetitions of the sin. That's what he says on page 357. On page 358, he says, "Mercy does not rob justice." Now, this is a phrase that not only was Kimball pretty famous for saying, but a lot of LDS leaders are kind of famous for repeating this little mantra that mercy does not rob justice. This paragraph is especially troubling. He says there are many people who seem to rely solely on the Lord's mercy rather than on accomplishing their own repentance. Again, are you catching the little phrases, Christian? Again, it goes back to what is the individual doing rather than on accomplishing their own repentance. He says, "One woman rather flippantly said, 'The Lord knows my intents and that I'd like to give up my bad habits. He will understand and forgive me, but the scriptures will not bear this out,'" Kimball says. "The Lord may temper justice with mercy, but he will never supplant it. Mercy can never replace justice. God is merciful, but he is also just. The Savior's atonement represents the mercy extended. Because of this atonement, all men can be saved. Most men can be exalted." Well, let's stop there, because here is why I think Kimball and every other LDS leader who uses this phrase, mercy does not rob justice, miss entirely the point. And that is, we would agree mercy does not rob justice. But the justice was paid in the death of Jesus on behalf of those who come to him by faith.
Absolutely.
The justice has been paid in the work of Christ on the cross at Calvary, not in our individual effort or our personal attempts to try to be as good as we possibly can be. The fact that Mormon leaders miss this ought to tell us loudly why Mormonism should not be embraced as a Christian organization. Yes, God is merciful. He is just. But again, that justice was met in the death of Jesus, who died on behalf of our sins.
This is what Titus 3:4-5 says. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. And I mean, this idea of mercy is without that, and without the ability to not be punished for what we are owed, because Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned, and Romans 6:23 explains that the consequences is death. We deserve that. And the unfairness issue, a lot of people like to bring out how God is unfair, and they're right. God is unfair because we deserve punishment, but somehow God has determined to give us life.
What basically Kimball is telling us, and other leaders have said so, has said as much, that mercy must be merited. In order to get the mercy of the Mormon God, you must merit it. To our ears, this is foreign.
Oh, absolutely.
Because mercy cannot be merited. If mercy is merited, it's no longer mercy. It makes no sense any longer. Kimball says many have greatly misunderstood the place of mercy in the forgiveness program. If anybody's misunderstood it, it's Latter-day Saints. I don't think I misunderstand it. But Kimball goes on to say its role is not to give great blessings without effort. It most certainly is. See, that's the point. It most certainly is. We cannot express that effort in order to gain God's mercy. That nullifies the very definition of the word. Kimball says, were it not for the atonement of Christ, the shedding of his blood, the assumption by proxy of our sins, man could never be forgiven and cleansed. Justice and mercy work hand in hand. He's mixing it up again. Okay, sure, he talks a good game about Jesus, you know, shedding his blood and things like that, but it doesn't give the hopeful result without the effort of individuals. If you're going to get the mercy, you don't get it until you expended the effort. He says this. This is where we certainly disagree with the Mormon view of soteriology or the Mormon view of salvation. It does not agree with our definitions of what grace is all about. It does not agree with our definition of mercy. He makes that very clear. Then on the page 359, he cites Alma 11:37, where he says that God cannot save us in our sins. And we've talked about this, and this is a great verse. Of course, if you're it depends on how you're going to understand it. If your sins are going to be held accountable, then God was not going to save you. That's sure. If you have sin that is against your account, you are not forgiven, no doubt about it. But if a Mormon is trying to say that God cannot save us in our sins and that he does not save sinful people, then nobody's going to be saved. Because Mormons are sinful people, just as the rest of humankind are sinful people. We need to finish with what he says on page 360. He says, we can hardly be too forceful in reminding people that they cannot sin and be forgiven, and then sin again and again and expect repeated forgiveness. The Lord anticipated the weakness of man, which would return him to his transgression, and he gave this revelation in warning. And he cites Doctrine and Covenants, section 82, verse 7, which reads, and now verily I say unto you, I, the Lord, will not lay any sin to your charge. Go your ways and sin no more. But unto that soul who sinneth shall the former sins return, saith the Lord your God.
Now talk about reaping destruction. I mean, to have forgiveness, quote unquote, and then to go and commit that sin again, and then to have to suffer the consequences, not only of the sin you just committed, but the sins of your past, that same sin. What a horrendous, there's no hope in that promise.
Well, what does a Mormon do with church manuals that tell them that they should be repenting every day? No, you shouldn't. If this is true, Latter-day Saint, you shouldn't be repenting at all. You should have reached the point of no return where the desire or urge to sin is cleared out of your life, as Kimball says in this book. And that would mean that you are continually keeping all the commandments, making it unnecessary for you to have to repent of any sin. So if a Mormon wants to know whether or not they have finally arrived and are ready for celestial exaltation and are ready to become a god, they need to be able to come up to us and say, I know for a fact I'm ready because I no longer have any need to repent. That's when a Mormon knows they've accomplished it.
Listen to the ending of this chapter. Forgiveness of sins is one of the most glorious principles God ever gave to man. Just as repentance is a divine principle, so also is forgiveness. Were it not for this principle, there would be no point in crying repentance. But because of this principle, the divine invitation is held out to all. Come, repent of your sins and be forgiven. Now, if you just had that paragraph by itself, Bill, and not the preceding chapter, you say, oh, that sounds pretty close to Christianity, but not based on what he has just written.
This is why it is so terribly important when you are talking with a member of the LDS Church that you clearly have your terms defined. If you do not, it's very easy to talk past each other. And this is what happens so many times when evangelicals want to engage with Latter-day Saints. They say, look, I brought up all these subjects and they seem to agree on every point. That's probably because you're defining those terms differently. Mm-hmm. It's important that you define the terms. Sadly, when we define the terms, we find that there is, again, as I've said before, a huge chasm between what Mormonism teaches and what Christianity teaches.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast, A Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.